Today's title is Activation of the Gifts of the Spirit. Subtitle is Spiritual Growth. If you would turn to Psalms 111, verse 10, this will be the text of the message, but we will be going other places. Psalm 111, verse 10. I am reading out of NIV. If we're there, let us go. And you may begin, Ken. Did you catch it? Word down. All right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. Contained in this one scripture is an ultimate key for us to activate the gifts of the Spirit. We have been talking about the Holy Spirit. We have been talking about the Jesus rest stop. We have been talking about the provision that God has for us. And it's time that we understand that these gifts that God has given to us, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12 in a few seconds, is given at the time of salvation. All of us have these gifts. Why? Why can I say that we all have these gifts? All provision was made, that is correct. Come on, Al, what do you think? I know. You're humble, you won't tell us. Come on, tell me. At salvation, you receive Jesus Christ, which is the fullness of God, and He has given you everything that pertains to salvation. Amen? Part of salvation is these gifts. These gifts that God has given to you, and we know Scripture says all good and perfect gifts come from the Father of light down to His children. He doesn't give us anything but good gifts. And some of us think that only certain people get good gifts because they're good Christians. Well, let's face the fact, none of us are good Christians. That's why we have Jesus. Right? And how we grow is determined by our relationship to Christ. If we have a sparse relationship to Jesus Christ, we're not going to grow. If we have a vibrant, alive, powerful relationship with God, we can expect God to do awesome and mighty things. We have to realize that the Holy Spirit wasn't just given to us to work in us. Okay? Scripture talks about, you know, the Holy Spirit is given to build our inner man, our spiritual man up. And that is true. You know, He comes in and He begins to start getting the junk out of our lives. And sometimes we don't want to pay attention to the things that God is saying that we have to get rid of, because after all, I'm so comfortable with it. Why would God ask me to give this up or give that up? Well, didn't He say He would have no other gods before us? You know, the biggest thing that we don't realize that is going on presently in the body of Christ is idol worship. Amen? What is idol worship? Good. Well, that's partly, but go ahead, Jess. It is anything and everything that exalts itself above Christ. That is idol worship. And that idol worship can be found in our food, can be found in our jobs, can be found in our children. It can be found in our finances. It can be found in all kinds of things. If we are focused on something more than God, it is an idol. Okay? Even our relationships, one to another, can become toxic if it is not directed by the Holy Spirit. And so, what we need to understand is that God wants us to understand how He operates. He wants us to flow in this operation. He has given us special gifts, not only to give to us, but to all believers. And He wants us to use them. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, starting verse 4. And we'll read through verse 11. We there? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one is the manifestation of the Spirit is given for a common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. To still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as He determines. The gifts that God gives to us, and these are delineated, are 9 gifts. I am not going to spend a lot of time on them, but I will break them down into 3 categories, and you can go and seek God and let Him fill you up, and if you want to talk about it later on through this week, and I'll avail myself to you. Well, let's look at this. First is the revelation gifts. They know something. It is the Holy Spirit who knows something, who wants to make known something to you and through you. These gifts are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Next is the power gifts. They do something. They do something through us to someone else. Okay? That is the gift of faith, the gifts of healing. Gifts of healing, not the gift of healings. Right? There's more than one gift. Why? Because there's so much death and disease that's in the land, it needs more and more people to acknowledge the power of God and really demonstrate the kingdom of light to a world that's out there. And what we do is we poo-poo this gifts of healing, and we say that we have to go to the doctors all the time. And I'm not diminishing the role of doctors. Luke was a doctor. But we have to understand that as we come together in prayer, and we have something going on in us, we can pray and believe God can raise that person from that bed of sickness or deliver that person from whatever shackle of sin that the devil is trying to keep them in. We have that power now given to us. And the other one is miracles. The last 3 are utterance gifts. They say something. Okay? Prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And I want to make clear, it is interpretation, not translation. What does an interpreter do? Translates the idea, the thought behind this. A translator doesn't go verbatim as to what God is saying. God is trying to get our thinking in alignment with Him. He's trying to get His thoughts into us so that we not only walk and talk, but we think on His plane. And so when we begin to manifest these gifts through the Holy Spirit, we need to be yielded to Him. How many of us have been baptized in the Spirit? Okay, that's fine. You have received these gifts at the time of salvation. But they are not a proactive ingredient into your spiritual walk because you have not been activated. Remember I said, we have this power, but if we are not hooked up to the power, nothing's going to happen. And so what happens is, because we don't have this power, we say, well, that doesn't work for me. Do you have Jesus? Yeah. Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to infill you? No. Well, do you want these gifts? Yes. Well, let's pray the Holy Spirit really come in and baptize you, and you begin to flow in this. How many of us want to hear God clearly? How many of us want to know His will? How many of us have been in line about something and God said to us, I need you to go over there and pray for this person. And it's like this prompting in your spirit that's going on. And you say, that's not you, God. That's not what. When you have been infilled with the Holy Spirit, He wants to educate our minds. He wants to use our body. And we need to yield our vocal cords to a spirit, to the Holy Spirit. He needs us to communicate what's going on, what the revelation that's going on in here, out to everyone else. It's for the edification of the body. Isn't that what the Scripture says? And so each of us have gifts. Some of us don't know what those gifts are, but I would say and challenge you, first, ask God what it is. Ask Him for the opportunity to be used in that. And third, allow it to happen. That's the sure way of understanding how God wants to move. He wants to activate the power of these gifts, not only in the local body. Okay, the Holy Spirit wasn't given just to edify us, not just to help us pray according to Romans 8, help us in our prayer time and stuff. He was given to educate us. He is our personal tutor from heaven who wants to teach us about the things of God. And the most important thing He wants to teach us about is spiritual warfare. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us about spiritual warfare and what our part is in this and how to become proactive in driving the forces of darkness back and extending the kingdom of light. All of us have declared Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the job of the church. It isn't just the job of Jesus. It's the job of the church. Jesus is our head. He began to give us examples of how to do this. But the interesting thing is, and maybe you never thought about this, Jesus did not perform one miracle. He didn't have a word of knowledge. He never walked on water. He never healed the sick. He never cast out demons. He never raised the dead until after He was baptized in the Spirit. Check it out. You have been baptized in the Spirit, and Jesus said, you will do greater works than I do. All these things and more will you and I be able to do. We must believe that we are. Do you believe you are a child of God? That is the key. Do you believe you're anointed? Absolutely. We've been anointed from the Holy One, from on high. He has dispersed tons of gifts around to us, and we have learned that in these gifts, what is happening right now is we are juvenile in the use of these gifts. These gifts we use upon each other to prove how spiritual we are. Right, don't we? Those of us who have grown up in the things of God. And that's okay. It really is. It's okay. Because we need to practice these things. That's how we begin to develop the confidence in the Lord's using me. That's why we have spiritual protocol, because not everyone has matured into their gift yet, but we want to provide an avenue for that gift to be used, but also monitor. One, to protect the congregation. Two, to protect that person who is being used in such a way that it will be apprised and appropriated properly for the building up of the body of Christ. That's why we provide opportunity if someone's got a word that God has given to them, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. If someone has a need, come forward. We'll lay hands so that the gifts of healing can manifest and drive those spirits out. God is not the author of sickness. He is the destroyer of it. He hates it because of what it does to us. He hates it because he sees its origin starts in sin. And the more we are entangled in sin, the more we destroy ourselves through self-destruction, self-delusion. And so we need the power of God in order to begin to travel from the highway, or travel from the rest stop of the Jesus rest stop down the highway and touch as many lives as we possibly can with the kingdom of God's power. That's why we're here. We're not here for a soul existence to just get built up and go out there and become deflated by Wednesday. That's the truth. That is the truth. You know, and we have declared Luke 4. Why aren't we doing it? And I'll tell you why in a few minutes. But the purposes of these gifts is to begin to discern the spiritual environment of what is going on presently around us. Remember I've said to you, you know, don't focus on the individual. Focus on the spirit that is trying to influence that person. We are spiritual men and women. We no longer look at the flesh. We shouldn't. Because we should see what is motivating. Check out what's going on in the spirit realm. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Prophecy. God speaking to us. To encourage us. Tongues. There are national tongues. There are spiritual tongues. There are tongues, and I've heard this, where we're preaching the gospel in a corner, and people who don't know English are hearing it in their native language. That happened on the day of Pentecost. So we have to begin to understand that it's not us learning a language to communicate. It's us yielding our vocal cords so that the Holy Spirit can use us. And if you guys have been in my house, you know we have these spiritual pigeons that float around. And from my mouth to your ears, these pigeons turn words around. Does it happen in your home too? Was it just mine that's full of weirdness? Probably just mine. We need to understand that our job is to reveal the kingdom's existence through the preaching of the word, demonstrating its power by displacing darkness. We display power by displacing darkness to the reality. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you know, if I cast out a demon by the power of God, then the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. Has the kingdom of heaven come upon you? Is the question. You see, these gifts are not given just for the body of Christ. They're given for us to do spiritual warfare. How are we going to know what we're fighting if we're not listening to God? All we're doing is boxing in the air. Or, did you hear what happened to so-and-so the other day? Man, they deserved that. No. A spirit did something. What was that spirit? I don't know. You know, I'm so caught up in you know, this person having this done to him or that done to him. You know, you have a wrong spirit. Didn't the sons of thunder have a wrong spirit? Lord, do you want us to call fire down and burn these guys to the crispy critters? And Jesus rebuked them. You know not what spirit you are. I came to save the world, not destroy it. We have to understand that as Jesus flowed in the power and authority of God, he has delegated that power and authority to the church. And thereby, if he has, and he has, delegated this to us. I believe that each one of us need to be spiritual, supernatural spiritual warriors for the King. That's who we are. We need these gifts to manifest. We need to grow up in the things of God, because if we do not, the enemy will come in like a flood and destroy this work. And those of us who have been here since the inception of what God's wanted to do has known that my head has been on a swivel. I've been watching and looking to see what's been going on. And when we get a lull, I'm like, I'm really watching. Because I don't know where the enemy's going to attack next, but I need to be prepared to hear from God as to what's going to happen next so that we're ready. You don't get ready when it happens. You get ready before it happens. Let me give you an idea of what's coming down our path. We have been fighting tooth and nail to get this building. In getting this building, we were fighting tooth and nail with the civic leaders, because they have a criteria that we have to adhere to, which is fine. We've taken and demoed this property, and all the metal that was out there, we could have taken to a place and made money from the scrap, but we chose not to. Why? Because we just don't have time for that nonsense. To a point where we are now, and that we're dealing with regulations and stuff, and we think we have time. When I delegate a responsibility to someone, I'm believing that you will get on it right away, because something else is coming. What is coming is people are going to come through the door. They're going to misbehave. They're going to say things. They're going to smell bad. They're going to act out improperly. Their kids are going to run all over God's green earth here. Why? Because they have no consciousness of the Spirit of God and the confusion that's going on. Women will come in dressed in a way that is not modest. They will say things to entrap men. And guys will do the same with the ladies too. Because Scripture talks about how they come in and they try to move within the power to get women to flaunt over what they're talking about. We need to understand that demons are going to manifest. And the time for fear of demons should have been before we got saved. We must constantly remind ourselves that we are supernatural beings, empowered from on high. We have power and authority to do the things that God has told us to do, especially in His house. We will not be afraid of them. But their whole injection in here is to create fear and trepidation in us, as if we're wrong. This is our Father's planet, and we need to take back what's His. You see, we still had this thinking that we live here, that this is our home. We are aliens. We are intruders. We are warriors invading and occupying until the Lord God comes back to take His place. That's who we are. Jesus said, occupy and do business till I return. That is a militaristic mindset that He is engaging for us to have as the church. The key to unlocking this power is in Psalm 111:10. Somebody tell me what it is. What is this key? Okay. What's it say in the scripture? What is this key? Fear of the Lord. You're absolutely right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's where we start. Are you afraid of God? I'm afraid of Him. I've been with Him. I've seen Him in His glory. I know what He can do. And I think some of the reasons why we think we have options in whether to receive the baptism or infilling of the Holy Spirit is an option because then God won't ask me to do something because I'm afraid He's going to ask me to do something that I'm not able to do. Well, the fact of the matter is, He is going to ask you because you can't do it anyhow. So you might as well just start agreeing with Him and allow Him to use your body, use your vocal cords, enrich your mind to allow Him to flow through you. Lazarus is a great example of Jesus coming out of the tomb. We're that tomb. He wants to come out. He's not rearranging our hearts in such a way that we're a better person. He's rearranging our hearts to equip us to do the work that He has called us to do. And these gifts flow for the believers. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, you see that. If you look at Romans 12, you see additional gifts that are in there. These are all for the edification of the body. These are also for the warfare that we are destined to have. The key here is having the fear of the Lord is understanding who He is and who we are compared to Him. It's not enough for us to believe He's God. We believe that He's God. We need to know Him as God. And we need to know His power. We need to know His wisdom. We need to know His plans because they're higher than our ways. We need to understand that our lives need to magnify God's glory, which His glory contains holiness, purity, power, and authority. What is holiness? He tells us, be holy as I'm holy. What is holiness? Holiness is really just moral purity. Body, soul, and spirit. Moral purity. What is purity? It's living by and for the laws of love without hypocrisy, all to bring glory to God. The laws of love. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Remember Revelations 12, 11? They overcame the adversary how? Amen. The problem here in the church, especially in America and Western society, is we still love ourselves so much. We're selfish about our lives. God didn't really mean that, did He? I'm lining up with my life for Him. If He meant it for me, He meant it for you too. What is power? The ability to wage war. That's what power is. He didn't give us power to impress one another. He gave us power to impress the enemy and depress him because he's defeated. We're the victors. We're more than conquerors. What's authority? The right to wage war. Absolutely. You have been given the right to wage war on every demonic spirit that is trying to come against you from keeping you from fulfilling the Luke 4 anointing. We should be mobilizing ourselves to become these warriors. We should walk in our kingdom authority. We should walk in the kingdom power. We should be holy as He's holy and live in total purity. Turn to Isaiah 11. We're coming to the end, Ken. The fear of the Lord. We need to cultivate this. And I just don't think that you understand what the fear of the Lord is really about. Isaiah 11, start verse 1. This is talking about Messiah, but it's also much deeper than Messiah. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. What's fruit? It's us. What's the branch? It's Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide what he hears with his ears. These seven spirits we have access to through Jesus Christ. These same seven spirits that Isaiah is talking about are the same seven spirits that are before God and His throne in Revelation 1. Same. Because we have the Spirit dwelling in us and upon us continuously, this is why Paul says we must walk in the Spirit. Make sure your walk is worthy. Worthy. This fear of the Lord is not only seeing how glorious and awesome God is, but it is loving the things of God and hating the things that God hates. And those areas in which the Holy Spirit is trying to set you free in, and you still love, you are at war with God. How are you going to set the captives free when you are still captive? You see, you're not using the power that God has given to you to set yourself free so that you can go and set others free. Jesus died to give us life. We die to give them life, and life more abundantly. You see how the transference flows? A body regenerates cells every day. The most regeneration of the cells happen when we are asleep. That's when the body begins to regenerate new cells and replaces the old ones. The same thing happens in the body of Christ. These seven spirits, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord are accessible to us if we ask God. They are before the throne of God, waiting for the children of God to ask for them, to receive them. Can you see the greater purpose than us just getting saved? Can you see the greater call than us just being moms and dads and parents and, you know, great employees and all this other nonsense, good students? That's what we do to infiltrate, to use and release the power and authority that God has given to us to win people. But I'm afraid they're going to reject me. If they reject you, they reject Him who sent you. It's not about you. It's about Him. And we need to cultivate the fear of God. We must be so afraid of God that when we go out there, the fear of rejection, the fear of man, has no possession of us. Because I fear God. Do I get an amen? Amen. We must revere God and the things of God. And revering God isn't just coming here on Sunday. Revering God isn't holding our tongue in such a way that when a brother and sister's around, we don't curse or say something inappropriate. I find it quite funny when people find out that I'm a pastor, you know, and they're using all their vernacular language, and then all of a sudden, well, what do you do? Well, I work for a carpenter. You do? Yeah, a Jewish carpenter I work for, as a matter of fact. Really, what do you build? People. Huh? Yeah, I'm a pastor. Oh, sorry, you know. I apologize for my truck driver language and stuff. Okay, that's fine, you know. That's your proclivity. That's not who you are. And then I begin to tell them about the kingdom of God, and I tell them about the grace of God, and I tell them that, you know what, if you allow Him to come on the inside and clean the inside up, the outside will be clean. We think we got to clean the outside first. That's kind of like religious activity, which, Nolan, you know, when we start getting religious, shoot me. I give you that power and authority. Because I got to be taken out of here. If we study out the fear of the Lord, we find that the fear of the Lord, the anointing, it is an anointing of the Spirit. The anointing was mostly with the prophets. Why? Because the prophets fear God in such a reality that they lived and moved and had their very being. This anointing, when they came to individuals, individuals responded and said, whoa, do you come in peace? And I say, yeah, I come in peace. Make you into pieces so God can put you together properly. Come on cities. When Samuel walked to some of these cities, and they would say, oh, Samuel, is it all well with you? What they were saying is, did we do something wrong that you're visiting us? See, there was a fear of God. They knew the man of God. Do those people who associate with you know you as a man and woman of God? And you've heard me tell stories where, you know, when I was working the gas company, guys would tell off-color jokes and all, and I'd come walk by and like, hey, what are you guys? Oh, this is not for you. What do you mean it's not for me? You're telling jokes. Here, let me tell you a joke. And it would be a cornball joke, but it wasn't filthy. It wasn't dirty. Oh, that's great. You know. Move along. They know who the man and woman of God is. Because we don't compromise. We love God. We love the things of God. We hate the things that God hates. What does this fear do? In us having a healthy fear of God, what does it do? It produces stability in our lives. We're not going to be swayed one way or another. It produces wisdom. We can actually see what's going to happen to a person just by what they're communicating. Why? Because we've seen it all before. It's not a new playbook. Sin is sin. There's no new plays in it. Maybe new to us, but it's not new to God. And the third thing it produces is reverence. We revere the things of God. We're seeking God. We want to know God's mind. We want to hear Him. Do you hunger and thirst in just to hear Him say something to you? Do you hunger so much that you will not even make a decision until He tells you what it is? We've sat in many leader meetings, and we've all come up with great ideas. And what have I said? If it's not the Holy Spirit, we're not doing it. We're here because of God's leading, not because I'm such a great man of God. The only thing that makes me great is I'm obedient. That's it. I hear him, I do what he says to do. Immediately. I don't wait around. You can see this through Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, Isaiah 33, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 2, 9. In this fear of God. It's one thing for us to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and we have received. And those who haven't, you're not less than a believer. You just need to allow God to minister to your heart to receive. He doesn't give us bad things. But it's quite another in knowing how to use it properly. How do you allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, how to do the things through obedience, how to mature in the things of God. We are at war, people. We are not at war with each other. We are at war against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and all kind of evil that's in high places. Those high places start in our mind and move forward. When we pray in the Spirit, it confuses these spirits. They are not able to manipulate our minds in such a way to get us detracted from our prayers. They can't sever this line of communication between myself and my Father. And when I'm not sure what I'm praying about, the Holy Spirit takes over and helps me. You see, the job of the Holy Spirit is what Jesus said, not my will be done, but your will be done on earth as it's already being done in heaven. Our job is to bring heaven on earth. But if we are still acting as children, playing around with these things, or thinking that our Father doesn't want us to operate in these things, we never will. If we have an immature understanding and we use these gifts improperly, we actually do harm to one another. Because then it becomes about me, not about him. And he wants to flow. Remember I said, God speaks to my spirit, who enlightens my mind, who motivates my flesh to do my will. Nope. No? Nope. Let me try this again. God gives me revelation in my spirit, who enlightens my mind, so I can motivate my flesh. That's wrong too? Huh. All right. How about this one? God brings revelation to my spirit, who enlightens my mind, who motivates my flesh to do his will. Yeah, that is it. See, a spirit needs a body. God needs our bodies. Because there's more of us, we can touch more people. Jesus was limited. Remember I said, he didn't perform any great miracles or anything until after he was baptized in the Spirit. You have been baptized. All the gifts that the Father has is contained in you. It's up to you to decide how you're going to be used and flow in this. It's up to me to teach you, when you are being used of it, to properly nurture and direct you so we can eliminate as many landmines as possible. There's a right way and there is a wrong way. And for too long in the church, it has been infantile. It hasn't been mature. And what God is raising up in these days is a church without spot or wrinkle, a church full of mature believers, a church that understands its position, its power, its authority, a church who understands that he's Lord and we are submitted to his lordship. If we begin to start flowing in these gifts, as we leave the Jesus rest stop and we go down the highway, we are equipped for everything that the enemy wants to throw against us. We are. We just haven't matured enough to properly use them. Amen? Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that your word is true, it's perfect, God, and your timing is unbelievable, Lord. I thank you for your people, God. I thank you, God, that in the very near future, what you have been saying to them, God, in their prayer closets, God, will be manifested. That you want to use us, God, in a way to glorify you, but also to draw the lost, those who are far away from you, those who have no knowledge of you, God, back to your heart. God, use us. Holy Spirit, use the wisdom. Use the word of knowledge. Use the gifts of healing. Use deliverance. Use whatever we need at that time, God, to win and set that person free from the clutches of the devil and begin to walk in true liberty in Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you bless your people as they go forward today. You make them mindful, God. Even today, during the football picks and stuff that's going on, that there be ministry that would go forward, that would be spirit-to-spirit realities, God. Lord, may we be ever mindful that we are supernatural, spiritual warriors, and we have this desire to destroy and go forth, God, in the power and might to reclaim what is yours. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.